I'm with Minidi Sinchangase, and today is the 18th of August, and it's a Friday. Time is 8:08, and yeah, you are the, I guess, the Zulu man that I'm interviewing for this thing. And yeah, I'm curious to know, how would you define masculinity in, like, the Zulu context? Like, what makes a man, yeah, even like expectations of them, or expect to behave a certain way, yeah.
Okay. I think, yeah, it's mostly in the way that you act, you know. Also, I don't know if I'm supposed to answer this like traditionally or just like on observation. Okay, so I think on observation, you have to be very reserved but firm. And I think need to be decisive, because I think in our culture, women are encouraged to be submissive, so the man sort of takes the responsibility of leading in, you know, almost everything. And I guess, you know, the most cliche one is, you know, you can't be emotional or be perceived to be driven by your emotions, which, you know, I guess ties to being reserved in a way. And what else is there?
Also, okay. So, like, with the thing of can't be too emotional and must be reserved. So would you say that kind of does, in a way, it doesn't encourage the expression of emotion like that? That's what you mean? Or is it like only specific emotions are allowed to be expressed or encouraged for men? Like, let's say, can't express sadness but anger, or if, yeah.
Okay, I think something else that I've often observed in like Zulu men, I guess, is they always feel like they're expected, or I don't know if I include myself in this one, but I think it's more an observation thing than something I've actually felt before. But they always feel the need to prove their masculinity. So, yeah, even with that, you know, I think it's unrealistic to think that we don't have emotions. But, yeah, you're kind of expected to tuck them in, you know. And except of course the emotions that are sort of tied with masculinity. So things like anger, rage, I think most of the time those are the emotions that we're trying to sort of emphasize. You see, yeah, we're able to feel these things, and more especially, I think something that I caught, like, from someone that I didn't expect, like from my dad, was how he felt the need to kind of prove his masculinity by I don't know, I'd have to paint a whole picture, but yeah, it's basically like if you're put in a situation where you're supposed to just react or more. Like, say someone speaks ill of you, like a nigger moment type of thing, you know? Like, the expected reaction is for you to just be violent.
Okay, damn. Alright, so how would you so with the feminization of that masculinity, so for example, applying the qualities of of what would be regarded as things for men or behaviors for men in masculinity, that was just an example, but yeah, how would you imagine feminizing that masculinity? What would feminize it? What would make it feminine? Like, if we make an example, yesterday when I spoke to this guy who was a closet man, he said, made an example of, well, the things associated with nurture, like taking care of a baby, or I guess the expression of, like, being nurturing in terms of being soft and caring. So that would be something usually he was saying to be associated, we would see as a feminine thing. And that was an example of how if that would be applied to that masculinity, that would be his way he can imagine feminization of that. So, like, how would you imagine feminizing Zulu masculinity?
Okay. I think this really does have a very generic response, and it is like a response that you've already got, just like being more nurturing and showing more emotion, or at least talking about it. I think that's something that we vehemently
would you think, do you think the feminization of any sort of that masculinity is, do you think it's detrimental, or it can be beneficial, or rather do you think it doesn't really have an effect on it?
I think obviously it's beneficial because it's, you know, a mental health issue, and that's something I think a lot of men struggle with in silence, you know, because you're not supposed to talk about those things. And that's why even the other day I was saying, we'll see, English is the most developed language, because in our cultures, we're not given, like, you know, the sort of the vocabulary to speak about, to express yourself. Yeah, that's the thing that just says it all about, like, how even when you think of traditional thoughts, you automatically just take out that element of being able to express express the way you feel. Yeah.
And with the expression of, let's say, pain, are they allowed to express that, and how are they, like, in what way are they encouraged to express that?
Is it
physical, mental?
Okay.
That's not physical.
Okay.
Got an injury, fell, something.
Thug it out.
Thug it out, can't cry.
Yeah, thug it out. Yeah, that's another thing. You can't really cry in public, you know. Yeah, I think that's how I learned to just, like, hold it in, you know, until eventually it just became so automatic. don't cry. And
say psychologically, if you're mourning during times that look like,
I think it's okay to mourn, but
does that include crying in like is it excused now in public?
Yeah, I think it's excused. But it's, you know, don't make a scene out of
right,
it.
Don't make too much.
Yeah, I think there's still a difference in, you know, how a man is expected to cry and how a woman is expected to cry.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, that was very insightful. Actually, there's so many overlapping things. Yeah, I just, what I'm doing is I'm just trying to picture, get different perspectives just to come up with a way to, different imaginations of how to, how the feminization of masculinity would look like. So I'm basically also asking from different perspectives of different cultures just to see the differences and the similarities of that. And yeah, that's like technically like the basis of what I'm doing. But I'm gonna explore that like physically, like embodying it instead. For example, if how do you think, like I'm just trying to imagine the provocation of if a Zulu man would wear an attire that let's say only a woman can wear, then yeah, like what would that do, or is it a bad provocation, or as in nah, or it's just a different perspective. Okay, I don't think it was a question because I realized I didn't phrase it properly, but I'm just saying that, just if I'm just imagining the reactions that you would get, let's say, if a Zulu man would wear something that, let's say, only women are supposed to wear. Yeah, just in general, a general reaction. Yeah, so it's like, that's just an idea of poking at the topic that's, yeah.
People are probably like the most stubborn in terms of tradition. It's like we have a cultural reset, and once that reset button is hit, we have to do whatever, you know. So, and that just doesn't just like, that isn't like, you know, restricted to masculinity and how it's supposed to look like in society. It's in everything. So I think if you were to do something like that, it wouldn't be much of a stopping. Because yeah, I think people are really like, what's the word, conservative, very orthodox.
And I think it's probably the last thing, point I want to make before I forget it. Like how is masculinity taught, or yeah, basically taught for Zulu men, in terms of, for example, I mean, Xhosa culture, black men would go through, because sure, you have an idea in terms of just observation of your parents and how they say, nah, don't do this, do that. And they probably say, don't do certain things just because, let's say, you're a boy child. And let's say, like, crying, cause you're like, okay, don't cry, something like that. And then at a certain point, and when they go to, let's say, through the rites of passage, going to the boshke, and the thing happens there, and they have all this talk, and they get all this new insights, giving them kind of, in a way, reshaping and making the role of being a man more intentional, I guess, them being more self-aware of their position in society. Like, how is that taught in the Zulu culture? It's like a thing of, yeah, at home, or like, yeah.
Yeah, we don't have that. they don't.
You just expected to know?
Yeah. I think you're just kind of expected to observe from the male figures around you, you know, and figure it out. Which I think is actually, you know, it's kind of strange. Now that I'm thinking about it, you know, like consciously, yeah, you don't really have anything, you know. But I mean, you know, the male figures around you are always gonna try to keep you close to them about you, so you can be able to see. Like if there's a what you call is a learning point, you know, they're always gonna try to pull you closer on board and let you observe. And I think that's how they impart their wisdom.
Yeah. And okay, I guess that was not the last thing I was gonna say. One more thing. Okay, let's just say, yeah, another thing. So with just acknowledging that it is in a way more suppressive in terms of you're not encouraged to express your emotions. So would you say that, do you feel perhaps oppressed by that or held back in a way by it, or you don't think it's not like a chain on your ankle? It's not necessarily like that.
I think it's not a chain on my ankle, because it's not like something that's set in stone. I think it's an expectation, but it's like, I don't know, it's not one of the more, what you call this, like, you know, strict things that you have to do this thing this way. You know, I think there is like, there's an opportunity for us to explore the idea of like expressing yourself as a man, and maybe it doesn't look the way that like it looks maybe say in Western culture. Maybe we find like our way of expressing it, you know, without really sacrificing any of the stuff that makes us. Yeah, so no, I don't feel suppressed by it. I feel that, you know, there is an opportunity to open up.
Thank you so much for your time and that amazing information, and yeah.